back to school when you come to my seminars and you come to my messages and so forth. It's like going back to the classroom for many of you who have been there before. I'm going to maybe go up here, and you can, some of you in the back perhaps can see me a little better. I won't set off the speakers, will I? From here? Okay. Just a word about who I am in regard to Faith Search International. Our offices are in Minnetonka, just off of Crosstown and 494. And we have been since 1979. Next year will be our 40th year of ministry of evangelism and Bible teaching. I wanted to just share with you a praise before I begin. We have one man that we hired to translate the book, Surprised by Faith, into Russian. Not knowing what God had in mind, but we wanted to make it available to Russian-speaking people. He himself was a Russian citizen of Russia. Oleg Voskresensky. Sounds pretty legitimate, doesn't it? And years ago, Oleg translated the book, and by the time he got done translating it, he said, "This is what my people will understand and want to hear." And so he said, "Would you take it to him?" And he said, "Yes." And he became our evangelist to Russia. And God had this all planned already ahead of time, because within the third year of his going over, he goes over about five times a year for 3 weeks at a time. So he spends about 15 weeks a year over there. And some people from the government heard him present what you folks heard last night that were here, without the call to commitment at the end. And they said, this, because we use archaeology and we use historical discussions and so forth for the Christianity, they said, we could use this in our schools. Surprise. And so he wrote a curriculum, and they said, we will hold training conferences for our teachers if you will teach them how to do this. And he has, to date, trained around 32,000 teachers in the secondary schools of Russia to teach what you heard last night as an elective course in the secondary schools of Russia. Is that a praise the Lord or what? He has opened a door of opportunity for the word. And it continues even with Putin's new edict that says that he's shutting down all that kind of activity. He is still allowing the Department of Education to host our training and then putting it into an elective course. The students love it so much that they decided and asked Oleg, would you write something appropriate for the middle school? We could introduce this earlier, but not as much. So he has now released the curriculum for the middle school in Russia. Folks, the day is coming, if the Lord tarries, when students graduating from the schools of Russia will know more about the Christian faith than our students in America. Where are they going to get it if they don't come to church? From movies? Their parents aren't going to church. They have no access to the Christian faith and the truth of it. And so I'm worried and concerned about the youth of America, because we have no opportunity. I mean, if we did what we in America, what we are doing in Russia, they'd put us in jail. True? You couldn't possibly do that in the public schools. So just wanted you to share that praise. And just so you know, we have ministry to Spanish-speaking people as well. The same apologetics, the same I've trained all these people to go out and share these evidences for the Christian faith, because I believe that we are facing a generation in America where we are out of favor, that we are, by consensus, a minority, and if we are not getting ourselves prepared to give an answer. As Peter said, be prepared at all times to give an answer, a reason for the hope that you have within you. We are going to lose ground, as you know. We already are, but we need to turn it around in this generation in order to, if the Lord tarries. So pray with me that that could happen, and that people all over would get excited about their faith because they understand not only what it is, but why it's true. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity and this time this morning. I pray that you would be the teacher. The Holy Spirit would really reveal to us your heart, and we would be the receivers, and you would be praised. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Why I believe in creation and why that's so significant, you can ask my wife. Even after I became a believer, and I shared my testimony last night, Genesis 1 was the last stronghold in my mind that I could let go of. I was a devout evolutionist. I was a biologist training, and evolution was true. Therefore, Genesis 1 could not be true. And that was I believed everything else in the Bible as a believer, but not Genesis 1. And finally, God took that stronghold away and gave me the reasons and the evidence why I could trust him even in this area. I want to share with you very briefly, it won't be very thorough, but there's more than I can share with you this morning. But the obvious, I'm going to give you six reasons. In your bulletin today, there was a half sheet of paper that has the six items. You have to fill in the word. The first one you would fill in for number one is you, because the Bible says so. I mean, that we all know, but I wanted to include that. The Bible makes it clear. Look, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. What is there about that that is difficult to understand? It has to do with other things, not with clarity of the Scripture in regard to that. It makes sense that God would create us in his image and give us that uniqueness, the personal uniqueness. It makes sense of the human race that God created us and created us in his image. Look to the New Testament. It is I, well, that's not very New Testament, Isaiah, the New Testament is coming. It is I who made the earth and created man upon it. I stretched out the heavens with my hands. I ordained all their host. Or in the New Testament, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Old Testament, New Testament, repeatedly over and over again, even when we appear in Revelation at the throne of God in the new heavens and the new earth, what are we going to praise him for? We're going to praise him for his creation, it says in the book of Revelation. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. Now watch. The white part, there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Doesn't matter if you live in Japan. Doesn't matter if you live in Asia or South America, Africa, North America. This evidence breaks through all languages, all cultures. That's why 9 out of 10 people today in the world believe there's a God or a higher power. They look at the fingerprints of God that he left all over nature and conclude this could not have happened by chance. There has to be a superior intelligence that stands behind the entire universe. And that's why 9 out of 10 people in the world get it. They don't worship the same God as we do, but they understand that the nature gives us the first line of evidence that there has to be a creator of this universe. Secondly, you want to put on your sheets Jesus. Because Jesus said that the world and humans were created. You say, well, that's kind of the same thing. Yeah, it is. But I wanted to distinguish between simply the Bible proclaims it, but Jesus affirmed it as well. Jesus said, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. So either Jesus is confused or that's the truth. For those days will be a time of tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the creation, which God created, Jesus said. in regard to the day of tribulation that comes in the future. At the end of time, Jesus revealed that all will worship at his throne with these words, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." So the creation is brought in, even at the end of all time in the eternities. We will praise him for his creation. 3. Because the world, you want to put world on your third one there, the world reveals the fingerprints of an intelligent designer. Now I'm going to go into a little bit more detail. We touched upon this slightly last night, the idea of intelligent design. But I want to go in and at least explain, explain to you what that means and why that's an argument. If you go out into western South Dakota, you will find there Mount Rushmore. The faces of 4 former presidents of the United States in stone. Now, would it be very reasonable if you were to say, that must be the result of millions of years of wind and water erosion? No, that would be chance, wouldn't it? What are the odds? Well, the odds are almost impossible. Because by throwing the dice, by chance, wind and water erosion, there is no natural law, there is no chance that could possibly generate these. It has to be the result of design, also called intelligent design. Well, we know the history of this, so we don't have to wonder if it came from intelligence or it came by chance. But there are things in the world that we don't know. Are they the result of intelligence or the result of chance? But can we know when something is designed rather than came about by chance? Yes, I'm going to use a couple words here and then I'll illustrate it. When something, and this is scientific, when something is both complex and highly specified, detailed, then you have a case that something came from intelligence. Let's use these letters. The white letters. If I were to ask you, could you read them for me? Well, yes, you could say the letters, but you would say, they don't make any sense. There's no message there, right? You can't read those. So they're only complex set of letters. How do you make them specified? You take the letters, and I'll take this letter, and I'm going to put it over here, and this one, bring that over there too. Create a little cluster here. I'm going to take these letters and put it in a different cluster. I'm going to make clusters out of the letters. Then I'm going to put the clusters in the right sequence, and I'm going to put the dot at the end of the last cluster. These exact same letters can do this. The complex is now specified. Same letters. Now you have something that is highly specified. Just like the faces on Mount Rushmore, they are so detailed that if you have any knowledge of the history of America at all, you can recognize every one of those faces. They're that detailed. Same way with this. When soon as you generate a message that requires specificity, we call it information technology, IT, then you have a case that it's the result of intelligence. So we have something in science we call CSI, something that is complex and specified information. Whenever it does fall into that category, no scientist will argue that it didn't come from intelligence. It has to have come from intelligence. Chance cannot create complex and specified information. It takes effort to create order. Look at your son's or daughter's room. By chance, it's going to be a mess. It takes effort and an intentional effort to put things in order. Your car, you decide, it doesn't need any servicing. You use the same oil, you use the same everything for years. Eventually, the car goes, it keeps falling apart. And you wonder why. Because that's what happens. Things go from a state of order to a state of disorder unless you apply special effort and intelligence to it. This is the complex and specified information. All scientists understand this. Let's, for example, use an illustration of SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. It is the view of many scientists that there is life that has evolved on other planets somewhere else in the universe. They may be trying to get in touch with us, wondering if there's anyone else with intelligence in the universe. So they're sending out electromagnetic signals. And so we put up towers, spending millions of dollars to put up towers around the earth to pick up electromagnetic signals from outer space to detect if anyone's home out there. How would you know if an electromagnetic signal came from an intelligent source versus a random source? Go to the website, and here's what they say on their website. You're looking for the existence of coded information on the signal. A message. It has to be, the complex is now specified. It can't just be a rambling of information. It has to be orderly information. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie called Contact, starring Jodie Foster. That's a play on SETI program. In the movie, they got a signal that they were sure came from an intelligent source. The reason they knew is because they found on the signal the prime numbers sequenced from 2 through 101. These are an example of prime numbers. Prime numbers in math are numbers that can only be divided by itself or by one evenly. And to get a sequence of all the prime numbers from 1 to 101 on a signal would be an example of complex and specified information. And so they're celebrating. They scored. They got a signal. There's life in the universe besides us. Of course, in real life, SETI has never had a signal from outer space that indicates intelligence of any kind. Anytime you get complex and specified information, it has to be declared the result of intelligence. Let's go to our bodies. Every cell of your body has a blueprint in the nucleus of that cell. And that blueprint is usually found in the form of chromosomes. The primary molecule that makes up chromosomes that stores that information is called DNA. I won't go into the details of it. It's what you see there. If you could unravel the coils and put the sides parallel to each other, you would see that there are connections between the two sides, like rungs in a ladder. What are these? They're chemical letters that are spelling out words, sentences, paragraphs, the whole gamut of what it takes to make another you. The whole thing is coded in message form. Not only you, but you also have to get camels, giraffes, roses, turtles, lots of things. 1.5 million or more species of plants and animals all have a blueprint, a code embedded in their nucleus so they can reproduce themselves from that blueprint. There's the letters along the rungs of that ladder. There are only 4 letters. And they only can make 3-letter words. God comes to you, nothing else exists, and he says to you, I want you to create 1.5 million species of plants and animals. Here's 4 letters. Make 3-letter words out of them and do everything with that. Wouldn't you look at him and say, you're joking, right? That's impossible. But in biology, that's exactly what we found. Every plant, every animal is made up of 4 letters and 3-letter words. It's a code. It puts to shame all of our software. Thousands of sentences making up a gene. Thousands of genes make up unique blueprints forever, and it has to be precise. You make a mistake on one of the letters and you abort. Or you get a malady of some sort. So it can't be experimental. It's got to be perfect. They did a study of the human genome. The 46 chromosomes that make up our blueprint. And they wanted to find out how many letters does it take to make a baby. How much information? And it was published in Time magazine and many other scientific journals. They came up with 3.1 billion letters. I have a Bible here. And if you were to someday find yourself with absolutely nothing to do, you would start with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and you'd count the letters on each page of your Bible. Put the number at the bottom of the page. Go all the way through the Old Testament. Go all the way through the New Testament until you get done with Revelation. And then add them up. How many letters are there in the entire Bible? There are about 4 million. What are the odds that these letters would occur in this exact sequence and these arrangements of books, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New, by chance alone? Wouldn't you say that's even absurd to think that you could throw a dice, now get an A, throw a dice again, now you get a G, and somehow by chance you're going to get the entire Bible? No. You'd say this has to be the result of intelligence. It's complex and specified information. Well, we have 3.1 billion letters. That's such a big number, it's hard to even grasp. 4 million. You'll have to stack 800 of these on top of each other to get the number of letters that's in your nucleus of your cell to make a baby. What are the odds 800 of these could be coming about by evolution of chance, random processes? God said, I made them in my image. And I left my fingerprints on it so no one could mistake it. And yet, we continue to teach in our university classrooms of biology across America to all the students that this is the result of random processes of chance. Natural selection, not God, came up with this. There is nothing supernatural about our blueprint. That's what they say. That's not what I'm telling you. That's highly specified information. One of the strongest arguments against people who are saying it's by natural selection of chance alone. No one has ever observed anything like this to occur by chance. No one has ever been able to demonstrate how it could even happen. It has to be the result of intelligence. Ask the animals, they'll teach you. Or the birds of the air, they'll tell you. Speak to the earth, it'll teach you. Let the fish of the sea inform you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? Job chapter 12. Even the beasts will give God praise. It's only humans that rob him of his praise. And Romans 1 already tells us that. That which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. How? Being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Those who deny God as the creator, he said, belies the fact that they are ignoring my fingerprints that I left all over the world. Evidence of my intelligence. But you must understand, of course, that the evidence of nature can only tell us there has to be a superior intelligence of God that stands behind the universe. It does not give us his name. We do not know who did it from nature. That's why the seminar yesterday afternoon was so important, because there we explore the history evidence of God, in which God became flesh and lived with us. We beheld his glory and so forth. There we have the revelation of God. Christmas is what we celebrate when God came into history. Now we know who did it. From nature, we only know someone's there who did it. History tells us who it was. That was a long one. Quickly, number 4. Because it's the most logical and reasonable explanation for origins. Logic and reason makes more sense from a creation point of view than it does from an evolution of view. Everyone starts with something. Either they begin with matter. In the beginning, matter would be the first verse of the humanist model for the origins of things. In the beginning, matter. When we look in our Bible, what's the first verse say? In the beginning, God. And people say, Don, if you start with God, you get a problem. You don't know where God came from. Where did God come from? How did you get that to start with? I simply turned it around and said, your matter, where did you get that? You don't know where that came from either, because you have to assume that it's eternal, just like I'm assuming God is eternal, has always been there. If you don't think it's always been there, then you must think that there was a time when it didn't exist. A time when there was nothing. And now you have to get something out of nothing. So we both start with something. They start with eternal matter. I start with an eternal God. Neither of us can explain how it got there. But we both have the same problem. What if God does not exist? We need dice then. Because we have to throw the dice because it's all random. It's all a matter of chance processes. So in the beginning, matter, chemicals, we have to get life, we have to get human beings, we have to get brains. There is no mind. There is no person. There's nothing to guide the process. It's got to proceed from random chemicals to organized life, to organized human beings. And it's got to do that by throwing the dice. There is no other way to identify it. How can you get the origin of a mind, life, and persons? Because chance has never been demonstrated that it can lead to an orderly world. Here's the text from a biology book that I used in college. Man's the result of a purposeless and natural process that did not have him in mind. He was not planned. He is a state of matter. As a result of that, what they're saying to us is that since God does not exist and it's all random chance, we're cosmic accidents. My biology text says you're an animal. You share a common heritage with earthworms without dignity, purpose, or meaning for our lives. Is that what you want to hear? Well, yes, if it's true, but it's false. And it degrades and allows you to shoot another person without even having a conscience about it, because all we are is related to an earthworm. We have no dignity. We're not created in the image of God. It degrades the dignity of humanity to have such a concept. But what if God does exist? We start with God instead of starting with matter. Now notice, we have a mind in existence already. We have a personal being in existence. We have life in existence. All the things we need to get are already there. Now all we have to do is have that God who is alive, who has a mind, who has is a personal being, comes up with matter, life, and other personal beings. We are created in His image. So you don't have to start with nothing or matter and come up with all these things. You start with them already and you have those generated by God in our world. You made Him, mankind, a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned Him with glory and honor. You made Him ruler over the works of your hands. According to the Bible, you are fearfully, wonderfully made, created in the image of God, crowned with glory and honor. Not related to an earthworm. Is there a difference in worldview? Do you see how it can change an entire culture if you don't have the right worldview? Number 5. I cannot go into this one. It would take us too far. But you can fill it in. Biological structures are irreducibly complex. Sounds formidable. It's too much for a sermon. But if you want to go either into the DVD that's out on the table called Why I Believe in Creation, which is a lot longer than a sermon, it's about an hour and 20 minutes. I can go into much more detail. Or there's a manual that I use when I come and do the seminar, Making Sense of Creation and Evolution. We have a 60-page manual. But that's like a book, and that's available, and that has a discussion of irreducible complexity. Simply indicates that function can only happen when you have all the components present. Without the components all present, you don't have a function. Therefore, evolution cannot act on it at all. Let's go to number six as our final point. Because I've experienced God's same creative power in the transformation of my own life. I don't have to wonder, does God have power? Can he change things? Can he create a universe? Yeah, it makes me, when I know that he did, it makes me understand how that same power can transform my life, my thinking. See, before I came to faith in Jesus Christ, my condition was one of guilt. My sin was condemning and would result in a sentence of death in my life. But when Jesus came and died on the cross, he bore my sin on the cross. He died so that I could live, and the result was the new condition in my life was forgiveness, which you don't get in any other religion. It's one of the qualities that comes with Christianity, because God is a personal God and he's able to forgive. But I also have a new destiny. I know that if I die today, I'll be with him in his presence. I have an eternal life to look forward to. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Notice the word. Some of your Bibles will say creature. The meaning of it is you're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So God created a universe with his power. He also changed me with the same creative power. And he changes you as well. That's our testimony to a watching world. That's one of the evidences for God is our transformed lives. Get your testimony in order. Have a short one, have a little longer one. And if you say, I don't think I have a testimony, then I think you better go back to the Word of God and back to Jesus and say, give me a testimony. Right? I need a testimony of changed life, of transformation. Have you ever bowed your knee in your heart to confess your sin and pride, then turn in faith to Jesus Christ? Let him be the Lord of your life. Are you willing right now to yield to God's creative power that can make you new? If you're here this morning and you came, maybe you're not usually in church, maybe you came as a guest, maybe whatever the reason, and you don't recall that you've ever made a conscious response to the invitation that Jesus says, I love you. I died for you. But I won't force that upon you. I want an invitation to come into your life. Give him that invitation this morning. He wants to come in. He will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. He'll make you new. He uses that creative power that we've been looking at. Maybe a prayer like this. Dear God, you've created all life, the universe, and me in your image, but I have tarnished it with my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross so that I can be forgiven and created with new Holy Spirit life. I repent of my sin and accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and resurrected Lord. Thank you for the free gift and assurance of eternal life. If that is your heart, if that is your prayer, then be assured that God lives in you. You are new. You're a child of God. There is a little card in your bulletin, about a quarter sheet little card, that asks if you would be willing to give me some feedback. There's not room on the front, but there is place for you to register where you stand in regard to Jesus Christ. Did you pray this prayer for the first time that you can ever recall to say yes to follow Jesus Christ? That's the first option. The second option is, been there, done that. But I'm today realizing the evidence for his creation. I'm reaffirming my faith in Jesus Christ. That's the second one. And the third one is, no, I'm not ready. I can't. I don't want to. Or whatever the reason might be is the third one. And please, be honest and mark that. But if you're really honest, then you'll give a phone number, you'll give an email or some other way to contact you. If you really want to know that someone could contact you and discuss, what is it that's keeping you from following Jesus in your life? Give somebody a chance to just visit. Nobody's going to hurt you. Nobody's going to coerce you. But at least if you have an honest objection, let somebody try to give you an answer to that objection to following Jesus. And for the rest of you, we have, as I said last night, we have our 40th year of Faith Search International, of the message that we proclaimed this weekend with you, last night, today, and that's what we proclaim anywhere and everywhere that anybody will invite us. We'll go without regard to the dollars. We do not force people to have to come up with a certain number of dollars to have us come. That's our new vow in our 40th year. We will, with a passion, declare the truth wherever we're invited, and we'll let God take care of us. And so if you want to be in any way informed about where we are and things like that, you can get to that website. But you also, by putting information on the top, your first commitment is to the local church. I always say that, and I mean it. Your first commitment is to the local church. But if you have means to reach beyond the local church, then consider Faith Search International. And get on the list there. If after a year you don't want to be hearing about us anymore after 40 years, then just tell us. We'll get you off. You won't be bothered anymore at all. So give us a chance to, and return those responses if you would. When you go out, I think maybe the table is right outside the doors. Might be a good place just to drop those off on the table. As I mentioned to you last night, the message this morning, on creation, is on a DVD, Why I Believe in Creation. And there's also this manual, which is the seminar manual on creation. And then the morning's message, or morning Sunday school, Choosing to Be a Bondservant, is on the resurrection DVD out there. And last night's message is in the black Surprised by Faith book. So all those things I've done with you very rapidly this weekend are all available. Why would you get them? Because you want to be an impact on somebody else's life. Share it. Get it to somebody else so that you can spread the message to as many people as possible. Lord, thank you for this privilege, this opportunity, this time together. I pray that you'd be honored and that you will supernaturally multiply the message of your Son. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.